Good afternoon and welcome to Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso and we are coming to you live from the Finger Lakes One studio in downtown Seneca Falls. We have an exciting show today as the co-founders of Gas Free Seneca join us in studio. President Joseph Campbell and Vice President Yvonne Taylor are here to talk about some exciting news and give everyone an update on their fight against Crestwood's proposed gas storage facility on Seneca Lake. Joseph and Yvonne, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for having us, Josh.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So for people who might be a little bit out of the loop, give everyone an idea about what Gas Free Seneca is and what you guys, what your roles are within the organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gas Free Seneca is the founding organization and the lead petitioner in the legal battle against Crestwood, Houston, Texas-based Crestwood's plan to turn the Finger Lakes into the largest gas storage and transportation hub in the Northeast United States. Mm-hmm. We founded Gas Free Seneca. Basically, we hatched it at my kitchen table 5 years ago, almost to the day, so January 2011.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. We started out, my name is Joseph Campbell. I'm the president. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the co-founders, and Yvonne Taylor is the vice president, also one of the co-founders. And we started things out. We knew that very few people knew exactly what was going on here. Mm-hmm. And so we thought that we really needed to get the word out. And we, in April of 2011, we put on a forum at the Watkins Glen High School Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Nearly 800 people attended. We had a panel of speakers. And it's sort of snowballed from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, like you said, this is a polarizing issue. Explain the proposal that Crestwood has pushed forward. They're obviously a Houston-based energy company. What is their plan in simple terms? You know, it's been in the news for a while, but I feel like the way people have been absorbing it has been a little difficult.
I don't think that people understand the magnitude of this project. This mm-hmm. is massive industrial gas storage on a scale that we've never seen in this region before. Mm-hmm. Their initial plan calls for storing 88.2 million gallons of liquid propane and butane in these unlined, unstable salt caverns that were created 50 and 60 years ago by a process called solution mining for salt. Mm-hmm. So these caverns were never engineered to store anything. Mm-hmm. They were created. They're irregularly shaped. They cut through shale and salt layers. We believe that those shale layers in the cracks and crevices and afford potential migratory pathways for this gas to escape these caverns. Mm-hmm. The plan calls for the initial gas storage, plus the expansion to 2 billion cubic feet of methane or natural gas in a couple of caverns, two giant open brine ponds on the steep hillside precariously perched over Seneca Lake, mm-hmm. a drinking water resource for 100,000 people, mm-hmm. open a burning flare stack. They flare off the gas as they do the transfer of, you know, brine and gas into and out of these caverns. Mm-hmm. A truck loading and unloading depot. Six-track rail siding, mm-hmm. industrial rail siding, where they're going to park, you know, up to 24 cars, rail cars, those big black rail cars. They admit that about 1,785 of these rail cars are going to be crossing the trestle that spans the world-famous Watkins Glen Gorge every year.
That's some serious volume.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, yeah. People really don't. I mean, 9 rail cars full of propane crossed that track or that trestle last year. You know, so do the math. You know, it's an orders of magnitude larger.
Mm-hmm. So the volume is substantial. My question then would be, and I guess the conventional wisdom would be, that the payout for the region, especially very near to the site, would be incredible, massive even. That the case? Maybe that's not the case? That's not the case, is it?
We don't think that's the case, no. we've got this Houston, Texas-based corporation that gets paid to store the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, they're not paying any sales tax on this stuff. There's a small amount of real property tax.
Mm-hmm.
That based on the assessment, obviously, whatever the assessment, they claim it's going to be about a $20 million project. Mm-hmm. So based on those figures, they're going to pay a few hundred thousand dollars in sales tax,
mm-hmm.
no, or property tax rather.
Mm-hmm.
So the town of Reading is going to see about $70,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Schuyler County is going to see about $250,000 a year.
So
compare that to the tourist based economy that we have here today, that generates $2.8 billion just in the Finger Lakes alone and employs 58,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
This project's going to employ maybe 8 to 10 people tops.
Okay, so that to me, as I've been combing through the numbers and reading what you guys have been putting out there, and even reading what they've been putting out there. To me, it just doesn't seem like on the jobs front, there's enough of a payout to even warrant this type of, you know, if this expansion were going to happen, it would have to be much more significant, right?
Yes, it's not even worth it. And you know, on top of that, none of the gas that's going to be stored in those caverns is actually intended for use in the Finger Lakes region.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so we're being expected to assume all of the risk. And we're getting none of the reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the, well, all, the, according to the transportation allocation letter that Crestwood sent to the DEC, 100% of the gas that's being stored there would be sent through pipeline to Selkirk, New York, which is near Albany,
mm-hmm.
and then distributed to parts of New England and possibly additional export from there.
So one of the things that I've found really interesting with your guys' entire movement, I'll call it a movement, is that you really make it clear that the impact isn't just going to be in the actual Reading, Seneca Lake, Watkins Glen, Cove, we'll say. Elaborate on that a little bit for us.
So the Finger Lakes has developed over generations at this point,
mm-hmm.
where they have worked so hard, families have worked so hard to create a Finger Lakes brand,
mm-hmm.
that encompasses not just Seneca Lake, but it's all of the Finger Lakes region.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are a very rich natural resource area with lots of culture, museums, wineries, you know, bed and breakfasts,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of art and galleries, cheese trails,
mm-hmm.
That thrive here. We're a world-class tourist destination. And, you know, if you just Google the Finger Lakes, what are you going to see? You're going to see racing, fishing, swimming, mm-hmm. you know, all of the wonderful recreation that we have here. Our concern is that if we have one accident in this gas storage facility,
mm-hmm.
you're going to Google the Finger Lakes, and what's going to come up? It's going to be not tourism anymore. It's going to be an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody in the Finger Lakes region is very concerned about that. And they should be. Our independent risk analyst did a study of this kind of storage and reports that there's a likelihood, if this facility does go through, that there could be a serious or extremely serious event. A 40% chance of a serious or extremely serious event within a 25-year period.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just child's play. If there's even a 1 in a million chance of an accident, we don't want to take it here because it's going to destroy what people have been working generations to achieve. You know, and so the other thing to think about is our hydrogeologist. The community hired another independent hydrogeologist to take a look at the salinity in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've had Steve Churchill on here talking about the salinity in the lake before.
Yep. Yes.
our independent hydrogeologist determined that there was a time when they were storing propane in those caverns. It was between 1964 and 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Corresponding to that, there was a huge spike in salinity of the lake. And so They ended up taking that propane out of those caverns and storing them in engineered caverns rock caverns that were designed to store gas. Mm-hmm. But our hydrogeologist says that if we were to repressurize those caverns again to store propane, mm-hmm. it could cause a similar spike in salinity that they saw back in the 60s when they pressurized those caverns originally. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about an already stressed lake. It's mm-hmm. already the saltiest lake in the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. Again, as Joseph pointed out, it's a drinking water resource for over 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And if that spike occurs, we've got a 4.2 trillion gallon source of fresh drinking water that's become undrinkable. Mm-hmm. So that's not just a Seneca Lake, not just a Watkins Glen, Town of Redding, Schuyler County issue. That's the entire Seneca Lake.
So to that end, you talked about the wineries and the businesses and the brand of the Finger Lakes as a whole. Talk to us a little bit about the coalition you guys have put together amongst a massive list of businesses in the Finger Lakes region who support your cause overwhelmingly.
That's absolutely right. To date, we have 31 municipalities throughout the Finger Lakes region who have officially drafted letters of concern or resolutions against the gas storage facility. That represents 1.2 million people in the Finger Lakes region. Mm-hmm. These resolutions were adopted by both Republicans and Democrats across party lines, mm-hmm. nearly almost unanimously at this point. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we have on the Gas Free Seneca Business Coalition 360 businesses that are standing together in opposition of this project. Mm-hmm. We also, the Finger Lakes Wine and Business Coalition formed particularly to be a part of the issues conference that we had in February of 2015. Mm-hmm. And there are additionally hundreds of businesses on that organization that are also standing against gas storage. The wineries tend to be the ones that are going to be the most hurt by this. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Finger Lakes magazine just came out with their 2016 map of all of the wineries and distilleries in the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect example. It's a great visual to look at because most of the wineries and the distilleries are clustered around the southern end of Seneca Lake, mm-hmm. but then they spread out like a spider web from there mm-hmm. to all of the other lakes in the Finger Lakes. And, you know, you have to figure that Seneca Lake is sort of the heart of the Finger Lakes, and it serves as a conduit for people to get from one lake to another. They go through or around Watkins Glen mm-hmm. To visit all the other Finger Lakes. So to add truck traffic, rail traffic, industrial gas storage in the heart of the Finger Lakes mm-hmm. is going to have a negative impact on everyone. Then in addition to all of that, we also have Senator Nozzolio drafting not one but two letters to Governor Cuomo. Mm-hmm. The second one more strongly requesting that he deny permits to gas storage on mm-hmm. Seneca Lake. Assemblyman Brian Kolb also wrote a letter to Governor Cuomo mm-hmm. suggesting that he really take a hard look at the community character that we have in the area mm-hmm. before making a decision about this project. We have several downstate senators who have also expressed grave concerns. You know, people downstate also realize, particularly businesses, restaurants, mm-hmm. that the Finger Lakes serves as the breadbasket of their businesses. Their mm-hmm. delicious meals are made from food that's been grown or you know crafted in the Finger Lakes, and their meals are prepared with delicious Finger Lakes wines. Mm-hmm. So even downstate businesses have come out against this. We have the New York State Sustainable Business Association that's come out against this. Mm-hmm. The American Sustainable Business Association has come out against this. The 1199 Healthcare Workers Union mm-hmm. unanimously drafted a resolution against gas storage. I mean, we've got the Seneca Lake Pure Waters Association, mm-hmm. who was with us during the issues conference in February, also hiring independent experts to say the same things that ours are saying, that this is the risks mm-hmm. are too great.
See, that's something that's, to me, that's something that's really interesting. It's not just you guys providing the research for other people to piggyback off of. Mm-hmm. There are other entities doing the same research, making the exact same findings that you are coming up with as an organization yourself.
That's right.
One of the interesting things that I've seen is that there's a push now, thanks to Senator Gillibrand, to actually push the Finger Lakes into a national heritage designation. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, we're so grateful to Senator Gillibrand. She gets what the Finger Lakes is about, mm-hmm. and she has established an initiative for a national heritage designation in the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. And again, she's doing this because she realizes that the tourism industry is a $2.8 billion industry, mm-hmm. promoting 58,000 jobs, mm-hmm. and. She wants to preserve the natural, cultural, historic resources that we have developed here in the Finger Lakes. There's more to come. I mean, we have international wine growers now purchasing acreage on Seneca Lake, mm-hmm. and they see the potential. So, I mean, it's almost like we're in it could be a revolutionary expansion of the tourism industry if we maintain it and support it. And, other national heritage designations have experienced an economic boost of roughly $13 billion mm-hmm. Into their annual economy. And that's the kind of thing that we want to see here. We don't want to see 8 to 10 jobs going to a Texas-based gas corporation at the risk of sacrificing everything that people have worked so hard here to develop.
Okay, so talk to us about one of the projects similar to this that have gone wrong before. There are plenty of examples throughout the country. They make the news every now and then, but I feel like there isn't nearly as much light shed on them as there probably should be. Talk to us about one that you really feel strongly about.
Sure. Just today, it came out that Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency in L.A. Mm-hmm. Because of a Southern California gas leak in Porter Ranch. Mm-hmm. 110,000 pounds of methane escaping from that facility per day. 2,500 families have had to relocate. Mm-hmm. They're citing illnesses, nausea, nosebleeds, headaches. And they're very concerned about long-term health effects from mm-hmm. exposure to things like benzene. Property values are plummeting. Children are getting pulled out of schools. It's not to say that this kind of thing would definitely happen if the gas storage facility were built today on Seneca Lake. But there's no way we want to take that risk here.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about Crestwood's, we'll call it a shaky past. They have a shaky past. If you really dig into what the company has done and how they've moved and how they've acted in different places in the United States, it isn't all rosy. Talk to us about what that looks like or what it has looked like for Crestwood over the last several years.
Well, locally, they do have a propane storage facility in Savona, New York, mm-hmm. south of us. Mm-hmm. In 2005, I believe it was, and there was an accident where a flash fire occurred. Four people were sent to the hospital with severe burns. Mm. In 2012, they had not one but two pretty significant brine leaks mm-hmm. on the property they own on the shoreline of Seneca Lake. The first one actually caused dead and dying, burned the salt water, burns the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't report it to the DEC for 3 weeks mm-hmm. until a concerned citizen mm-hmm. sent video footage of that dead and dying vegetation to the DEC.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few weeks later, they had another massive brine leak that ended up making its way into Seneca Lake. In North Dakota in 2014, they had a 1 million gallon brine leak. Now, this brine, people have to understand, is fully saturated with salt. Mm-hmm. It's 12 times saltier than seawater.
Mm-hmm.
And that massive spill ended up migrating into the bay of a lake that provides drinking water for the Native American tribe that lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Just this past Labor Day,
Yeah.
Not Labor Day weekend, Labor Day.
Yeah.
They had a massive fire at their USL facility that really was pretty spectacular. But I think, you know, it's one of the busiest weekends of the year on Seneca Lake. It was beautiful weather. People were out in boats. You know, this big cloud of smoke engulfed tourists and boaters alike. So they have a checkered past. They've also, they're allowed to discharge salt into Seneca Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And their permit from the DEC allows them to discharge, believe it or not, up to 44,000 pounds of sodium chloride every day into Seneca Lake. Already the saltiest, many times saltier than any of the Finger Lakes. And for some reason, they continually, nine of the last 12 quarters, exceed that effluent discharge. They're in violation of the Clean Water Act.
So that's that actually piggybacks right into something else that we had talked about a little bit before. The DEC has serious concerns about this, correct? There's an actual part of the whole issue where the DEC has actually had some concerns about this particular project. Can you talk about that to any degree?
Yes, thanks to all of the concerns that we've raised, the DEC took it seriously enough to hold that issues conference that we had this past February 2015. Mm-hmm. We had independent geologists, hydrogeologists, we had a risk analyst, a noise expert, a community character expert, economists, all weighing in, and that was just through Gas Free Seneca, not including Seneca Lake Pure Waters Association that raised their concerns, in addition to two Schuyler County legislatures who also wanted to file for party status in this issues conference. So the DEC took our concerns seriously enough to have this issues conference. They appointed an administrative law judge to oversee the case. And again, this is almost a year later. He is still reviewing those expert reports. So, you know, right now we're sort of in a holding pattern while we're waiting for the judge to make a determination as to whether those issues that we raised warrant a full hearing, in which case we would bring all of those experts back from across the country again to stand more like a trial. If the judge does not think that those issues warrant a full hearing, then we go into filing for a rehearing or an Article 78 lawsuit in which, you know, we're going to continue to fight until we send Crestwood home.
So is there any sort of, maybe you guys don't, are you sort of in the dark as to like what the timeline looks like for what you guys are trying to fight? Or are you just, was there a timeline at one point or?
You know, the judge said that, well, originally the judge is established sort of a timeline where he was going to make a decision by mid-July of this year. Well, that's come and gone. So the
by
judge
about
can
7 months.
The judge can take as long as he wants. We think no news is good news, actually. And in the meantime, it's giving us an opportunity to continue to find ways to oppose Crestwood and to strengthen our opposition, which we're doing all the time. So take your time, Judge. You know, we're
no rush here.
No rush.
Okay, so you've been talking a lot about railways, highways, cars, this, that, the other thing that would be carrying a lot of different things. Can our infrastructure handle that? That is probably the biggest question, because when you hear people talk about it, they think, well, we have the railways, we have the roads. Good to go, right? Not the case, right?
No.
Well, you live around here, you drive around here, you know what it's like in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know that these two-lane roads, some of them are, you know, very winding, steep. You know, do we want a truck loading and unloading, you know, propane, those big propane bullet tanks on wheels running down the roads? And most of that traffic will be in the wintertime, you know, when the propane is being used. We've already had some devastating pipeline incidents 25 years ago in Blenheim, New York. A propane pipeline ruptured. The vapor cloud that escaped ignited, killed two people, leveled 14 buildings. In a word, no. We're not. This is not the the Houston Shipping Channel. These guys don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know that this is not. It's not Louisiana. It's not Texas. You know, it's the Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've looked long and hard at other gas storage facilities,
mm-hmm.
like the one they're proposing to build on the steep hillside next to the Seneca Lake, and we haven't been able to find one next to a drinking water, you know, resource for 100,000 people. They're normally built out in the middle of nowhere on terrain that's flat as a pancake, and there's a reason for that. Propane, when it escapes, the liquid vaporizes, turns into a dense vapor cloud that's heavier than air. It flows downhill, and the lake with the hillsides would act as a collect basin to collect
natural
air.
Catching net.
Exactly. And of course, the you know the prevailing winds out of the north, that vapor cloud could easily blow right into Watkins Glen. Same thing with that gorge. If there were a derailment and a rail and a number of rail cars, they don't, you know, one rail.
It's not
rail,
just one.
It's never just
it's
one.
It's never just one.
Fall 175 feet into that gorge, they're going to rupture. And if it happens when the gorge is full of tourists, three quarters of a million people visited the gorge last year alone, those people would have no way out. They'd be incinerated in the fireball. It would be unimaginable, you know, the scenario that would ensue. So, in fact, one of the Schuyler County legislators, Michael LaSalle, that filed for party status at the issues conference, likened it to building a movie theater with no fire escapes.
Good analogy. So, at this point, you guys actually made a pretty significant announcement on Tuesday. Talk to us a little bit about that. Resell the major announcement again for us.
Yeah, April of last year, we were approached by the Waterkeeper Alliance. Waterkeeper Alliance is an organization devoted to maintaining and improving water quality. And it was actually one of the founders is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And they described how interested they were in having a presence in the Finger Lakes. And they picked Gas-Free Seneca because of the work that we've, you know, our advocacy for Seneca Lake for, well, now 5 years. And we submitted a proposal, and the executive board of the Waterkeeper Alliance approved it. And so Gas-Free Seneca is also a Waterkeeper affiliate. We're going to be advocating for, because Seneca Lake has more than one issue facing it.
Of course.
It's not just gas storage. It's nutrient loading. It's the salinity issues, aging sewage, municipal sewage treatment plants. You know, and we can bring the resources of this international organization, over 270 keepers and affiliates worldwide. And that gives us resources to bring to bear for Seneca Lake that we didn't have as a small grassroots organization. So we're thrilled. Seneca Lake Guardian, a Waterkeeper affiliate, will be advocating for Seneca Lake beyond the gas storage issue.
Well, that's really awesome.
Just, yeah, I mean, it's just one more really powerful arrow in our quiver. The one thing that we didn't mention is that we also have pro bono legal representation from one of the premier environmental law firms, Earth Justice. So, you know, we've got Earth Justice on our side. We've got the Waterkeeper Alliance on our side. And all of the local regional places that we've mentioned, the organizations and the businesses. We feel pretty strong right now. And we're going to just continue to grow.
So speak to that. What is the, for those who, you know, they're going to go like your Facebook page, they're going to follow you on Twitter, and what is the next sort of date or step or thing or event that they should be keeping an eye out from you guys, or what's sort of on tap coming up?
Well, just, you know, stay tuned to see what the administrative law judge determines. And once that determination has been made, then we're either prepared to, you know, bring those experts back or file a rehearing, or who knows? I mean, maybe the law judge will just say, you know, I've looked at everything and I just don't think this is a good plan. I'm going to recommend to the DEC that this be denied. Wouldn't that be fantastic? We'd have the biggest party. There would be so much Finger Lakes bubbly floating. But yeah, we're in this all together and we are prepared for whatever comes our way. We would encourage anybody listening to please go to our website, sign the petition, mm-hmm. asking Governor Cuomo to please deny permits to this project. You know, we're always interested in getting more followers. So, you know, we thank you so much for having us today.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you guys both for coming on. This is a really, really important issue. And I feel like the more this is talked about, the more it's put out there, the more people will realize that this is something that really does impact the entire Finger Lakes region, not just Seneca Lake.
That's right.
All right, so that's going to do it for us today. We're going to be back next Thursday with Newark Mayor Jonathan Taylor. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check out FingerLakes1.com for the latest news and updates. For Joseph Campbell and Yvonne Taylor, I am Josh Durso signing off and inviting everyone to join us next week at 2 p.m. for another episode of Inside the FLX.